We had my friends on the line, but I was told that a chick was half. I run this.
So only I'm around to assume that that should be Nola Gomer. Literally, Nola Gomer. The chick was born today in London. So that should be Muxel of Halladay. So that's the one opinion in the Gemara. Rav Amar Rasta. Rav says he's not permitted to check that chick and Gomer because it looks like Nola Gomer. And Rav Yechanan, and another version has it that Shmuel, these were all contemporaries. Rav Shmuel, Rav Yechanan, we all did the same kutza. So either Shmuel or Rav Yechanan, one of the people who usually disagrees with Rav disagreed over here, and he said, not so. In principle, really, Rav is right, that it should be Muxel because it's Nola Gomer. But however much the rat for the since when it breaks out from the shell, only then he committed to shech. If you were crack the shell open and shech it earlier, then he would break out on it only after 21 days, then it would be an availer because the incubation period wasn't completed yet. But since Materat for the Shita, since the breaking out from the shell is making it, with respect to Shita, so it's considered that it's making it with respect to Hilchot Mukhtov. Hoyol that's a Rashi said, Hoyol that it's Mukhan Lagabi this, it's Mukhan Lagabi that. A very expensive. There's a Gemara on Hamashay, it's close. There's a Tani Kavah to the Rav, and there's a Tani Kavah to the Shmuel, Miten Rabbi. There's a Braitha that says like Rav, Machlek is not Kavah, in other words. Machlek is between Rav, against Shmuel, or Rabbi Yechanan, whoever it is who disagrees, is really a Machlek is not Kavah. And they just argue which Tani you should pass on. Each one has a Braitha that's quoted. So the Gemara asks in the middle, we started this a few weeks ago, the Gemara asks in the middle of this discussion, is, the only machlokes is if you have an afresh another of the yomim. The chick was hashed on yomim. What if a behemah gives birth to a calf or a little goat of lads is born on yomim? Then it's an ishmaelator basis. Then it's not mukhtar. But everybody agrees that you're permitted to shech this lad. So why don't you say that that should also be Nova Gomer? The first thing, namely Rav, who doesn't believe in royal materat from the shechita. He doesn't hold in that sport. He holds that a chick that was born on yomim is Nova Gomer. Perfect mukhtar and it's you know about a shechted, so why shouldn't he say the same with respect to a vlad, a behemoth that gives birth in the middle of Yom Kippur and it's against the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers that there's no comparison because since the calf is part of the body of the mother and the mother was nitpas from shechit, he could have shechted the mother, and if he would have shechted the mother, the vlad would have been included in the shechit of the mother, so therefore the vlad is not called Nerevat Gomer at all. It was labeled as Mechalotin from before Yomdin. The mother is only with the Shechita, not only with the Shechita Bichal on the mother, that's what we call Ben Tekua. The Shechita with Bichal on the Uber as well. But to call it a Ben Tekua, the mother is a Tekua. Tekua means the animal whose body was cracked open, not here means to crack open. So the Ben Tekua is the blood of a Behemah that wasn't Tekua. It's not that the blood is like a Ben Mother, so you say, a Ben... What else do you have like that? Bin Hakosa Rosha doesn't mean he's the son of a man who hit a Russian. He deserves Bin Hakosa Rosha. He is then Pekua, if you take him literally, a then of a Pekua. The mother was a Pekua. The mother's body was cracked open at the Shita, and the blood came out. Right. Even if it would come out through normal age, it's also not, let's say the following funny case. Let's say the mother dies, either in a human being or in a behemoth. The mother dies. And if the mother dies, then the blood comes out normally. But that's considered a yoytzei dezmin. It's not possible, medically, it will not cut, the body will not push out the blood. So let's say they take it out. So the Gemara calls such a blood, that's called a yotzim. That's what the Gemara calls that's a technical term, yotzim. Let's say by behemah, yotzim doesn't mean, yotzim is cut to the carbon. It means that if you have a behemah of blood, that's a yotzim, so it's cut to the carbon. So you know, yotzim has to check to make sure that the parents are still alive. How do you know that the parents of the behemah are still alive? So the Gemara says, no, yotzim is a technical term. It means that the blood came out after the mother died. It doesn't matter about the father is alive, not alive. If the blood comes out after the mother is dead, that's called the yotzim and it's cut to the shechit. So the Gemara says, what do you need a pasuk to tell me that yotzim is cut to the shechit? So the Gemara is called a parent behemah of kasha, the fourth parent. What are the parties to say? That there's a psula on a yasom for korban is, you're not allowed to use it as a korban. Every yasom is a ben tekua. And a ben tekua may not be used for korban either. Ben tekua is good for chulin. I'm permitted to eat a ben tekua. I don't even need shechitim in that day. You only need shechitim in the rabbanon and then ben tekua mishum ma'ariz dayin. But not everybody will know that it's a ben tekua that it was covered with the mother shechitim. But if you want to use a ben tekua for korban is, you're not allowed to.
So the Gemara says that every yotzom, every behemah, every blood that's born after the mother dies is automatically a ben kaku. Why is it automatically a ben kaku? It's automatically a yotze dosen. Every yotzom is automatically a yotze dosen. How is it automatically? A yotze dosen means a cesarean delivery. If it doesn't come out, that they say that must have had it cut off in the belly. So the Gemara explains, why is every yotzom, every blood that's born after the mother's death, why is that automatically considered a yotzei dosen? That's if they had it cut open the mother's belly and then they took out the blood. But if they pushed out, once they pulled out the blood, they said, that's the same way it would have come out if the mother would be alive. So the Gemara explains, and Rashi explains it even a little better than the Gemara, that right, that that's by definition called the yotzei dosen. The yotzei dosen doesn't necessarily mean if the blood comes out from the side, yotzei dosen came out from the side, doesn't mean the side. That's not a cesarean. Let's say a cesarean delivery, so if it's a baby voice, it's not a Shabbos, we discussed this, and there's no thing of taking out benefit to your suggestion, and the mother doesn't have to deal enough through the tower that she's to make for 7 days, or for 33 days, which in Dham she'll be illegal, there's no Dham she won't be, but she doesn't have the 2 months to your letter, she doesn't have all those demons. So your suggestion doesn't necessarily mean if it's a cesarean delivery. Okay, so that means that the mother's body didn't naturally push out with its natural labor forces of blood. So if the mother died, and after the mother's dead, then they got the baby to come out the same way it would have normally come out, but it wasn't pushed out by the mother's curses, then that's also defined as a yotzei. So the mother says, we haven't intimated that a yotzei dosen is part of our cross. Because we learn that from the pasuk, Shalach Hesavei Ki Yivolet. Ki Yivolet means it's born naturally, prior to Yotzei Dosen. So why do I need a pasuk? Why should I be on Tachas Dino, prior to Yotzom? That Yotzom is not acceptable means if the mother died first, then the blood is born. And that's also possible for a cousin. Every Yotzom is going to be a Yotzei Dosen, so it's going to be possible. So it might give you a case where you need a Dino as a Yotzom. It's a very rare case. So to that Gemara, the Gemara gives you the definition that Yotzei Dosen doesn't only mean cesarean, yet it means whenever the mother's natural forces really push out the blood. That's why there was a whole discussion in Europe about 60 years ago, the Gemara was discussing forceps babies. If the doctor pulls out the baby with the forceps, so since the mother's natural forces didn't push out the blood, the doctor yanks out the baby, then maybe the dim should be that it's like a Yotzei Dosen, it shouldn't have a dinner, thinking of it. So that's what some suggested. The other said that a Matthias is not so. They don't put the forceps inside the face of the head. They don't stick it all the way in and they yank out the baby. They wait till after the head is born already. After it's already Yotzei Rosho. Labor is after Yotzei Rosho. And you don't even need Kol HaRosh. You only need Rov HaRosh. And if one day you don't even need Rov of the whole Rosh, all you need is Rov HaPadachas. Padachas is just the part. If one day, that's already your father's day. The Shach questions the correctness of that opinion here today. But Yotzei Rov HaPadachas is enough. No, you have to have Kol HaPadachas, the Rov HaRosh. But if it's already Yotzei Rosho, then the doctor starts to use the forceps to straighten out the baby. But they don't stick the forceps all the way in and yank out the baby like this. They would kill the Uber. That's a mostly bad point. That. And others were somehow under the mistaken notion that they put the forceps all the way in and they pull out the baby. And they caused the labor. So some of the dozen said that that's called Yetzigah. So here the Gemara raised the objection, if you have an egg Yoshimar, like the Yontif, a blood is born on Yontif, the Mishnah later, that the blood is not moved to, so why not say that it should be Nerlat Gomor, it didn't exist as a Balchai that lends itself to Shechita before Yontif, so the answer is no, it did exist, because it could have shed to the mother. And the Shechita Sima would apply, the Shechita on the mother, and the cow would apply to the blood as well. That's the din of Ben Kakur. So the Gemara asks, so what are you going to say if it's a blood? So no, that beyond the Mila Shechita, the mother was a Shechita, and you would have shed to the mother, the Shechita of the mother would not be matter the blood by Chila, even though the blood is not a Shechita. Even though the blood is not a Shechita, that's an interesting thing. The Shechita on the mother is good for the blood, so why don't you say, well, the mother's a Shechita, so the mother's also a Chila, but the Uber is not. That's halacha, that the shechita on the mother is good for the ben kakua because I treat it as if it's uba yerachima. I treat it as if the blood is part of the mother. So if the mother is a shechita, so the marsha. If you're going to say that blood is independent, then has the shechita of the mother help the blood. The only reason why the shechita of imo is mater the blood bachim is because I treat the blood as if it's yerachima. So if the mother is a shechita, so the shechita cannot the shechita that on the mother, that also chal on the blood, cannot be better on the blood than it is for the mother. That's impossible. So the Gemara asked, what are you going to do in such a case? What if the mother was a traitor and the blood was born on Yom Kippur? So there's not the Beirush and Mishnah, what it didn't in that case. The Mishnah that speaks later of the Egel Shanel of the Yom Kippur, that it's not Mufti, you could say it's not a case where the mother was not the traitor, the mother was a Shlema. But what for the din be the Gemara wants to know? The mother was a traitor and the Egel was born on Yom Kippur. You mean to tell me that it's going to be Mufti because it's never a drummer? So the Gemara says, and the third line from the bottom is shot to Rav. Rav didn't give any answer. When we ask him, this kasha, what are you going to say about this case? The Talmidim of Rav. Ami le Rav, Kahana Rav, Asi le Rav. This is the Talmidim of Rav. So he asked, what are you going to say in that case? Shot to Rav didn't answer. So the Gemara says, Bama Rav, if he came to Rav Yosef, my time is shot to Rav. Why did he know what the answer is? A simple answer. Label of who he should have answered. Hoyle Mukhan Agav Imo Niklom. Those are the signs. Since he knows that the mother is a traitor, the mother's a traitor already for a half a year. The mother's a couple of months, but it happened just yesterday, the mother became a traitor. The mother's a traitor for a while, but since he knows the mother's a traitor, and he won't be able to shed the traitor needed himself. So what is the day the traitor only for? What does he plan to do with it? The stomach he plans to feed it and do it. It's not going to live too long. The traitor's going to die usually within 12 months. The mother's a traitor ain't a chas, doesn't live for more than 12 months. So the traitor is going to die. Within 12 months in the stomach, he plans to feed this animal, the mother to the dog. If he would feed the mother to the dog, then he would give the Uber to the dog. The mother would Uber and everything. They would give to the dog. So why not say simply that the mother with the Uber and Rachel is Eichel in the beginning of Yom Tov, Michael Behem is also not Muslim. The din is for Kabbalah, the Tumah purposes. There are only four things in the whole Bible world that are Makabah Tumah. Adam and Kalim. Ochlum and Mashkin. So the only thing that's called Ochlum, that's Mekabal Tumah, is Michael Odom. If it's Michael Behemah, it's not Mekabal Tumah. And the same thing for HaFrosh's Tumah Samaitis. The only obligated to be Makash Tumah Samaitis from the fruit to the vegetable and the grain that grows next door is it's Red Achilos Omen. If you have something that's only Red Achilos Behemah and people don't eat it, then you're not Chayim Tumah Samaitis at all. If you have a boxer, so the Gemara says, Boxer, you only have to be Makash Tumah Samaitis with the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim says, why? Because it's really not Red Achilos Omen. It's Michael Behemah. Human beings don't eat boxer, it's not taste awful. So he says, may I tell you, it's not Michael Behemah at all. Since there are some people who eat it, some of the Rabbanim you have. If you have real Michael Behemah, even with the Rabbanim, you have to be Makash Tumah Samaitis. That's the reason that the Rabbanim gives. The Rabbanim gives a different reason. The Rabbanim says, believe me, Boxer, the only things that are Chayim Tumah Samaitis when I say it are Dov and Firush and Yitzah. That's all it says in the Chumash. Shmaita Dgancha, Virosh Chavitzarecha. The only things are the Chameshis Nini Dogon, that's wheat and barley, and all kinds of wheat and all the kinds of barley. And that's Dogon. Then you have Firosh is wine. Wine means grapes and wine. And Yitzah means olive oil that comes from olives. In other words, olives are Chayim Shumas and Maestas and olive oil is Chayim. That's all. The Rabbi says that's all men is. That's Rashi and Taisus and Raisa. That's how Rav HaRishan is passing. That's how we pass in a year a day. It's in the Shinran with Allah, that the only three things that are high in Shumas Maisus Ben HaTayra are Dabram Tira Shvi'itza. As far as Shvi'itza is concerned, some people think that the word of Shvi'itza only applies in HaTayra to Dabram Tira Shvi'itza, it doesn't apply to all other fruits and vegetables. That's a mistake. The word of Shvi'itza applies in HaTayra to all kinds of anything that grows in itself, it's subject to Shvi'itza. But that's the limitation in Shumas Maisus, that the only kind of Shumas Maisus is Dabram Tira Shvi'itza. So the rabbi says simple, that boxer is only chayiv to the rabbanon because it's not dogon and it's not tirish and it's not yitzah. But you have to clearly give an explanation. But the Rambam doesn't accept that view. The Rambam's opinion is that once you say that grapes and olives are chayiv and atayra and shulis and maizes, the manashtana of these fruits and all other fruits, the Rambam says the whole fruits are chayiv and atayra and shulis and maizes. Vegetable ground. The Rambam says that maize and yeret is only the rabbanon. Vegetables is only the rabbanon. But fruit. The Ramashita is no fruit, some and other. The boxer grows on a tree, so that should be a fruit. And that's the kasha that the Rambam is bothered with. How come the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Shemus and Maitis on boxes only with the Rabbanon, and the boxer grows on a tree, so should be a fruit? But the Rambam gave the alternate explanation, that boxer and other is not very lucky to us. That's what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Shimon and Aleph, that we're not even after. Even Dogon is only not right. Because the Rambam's opinion at the end of Parakalim, and also Shumas is that the only Chayiv and Shumas and Maitis and Atera, when the majority of the world Jewish population is living in Eretz Yisrael. So when the majority of the Jews don't live in Eretz Yisrael, That's why Shmita is on Gavra.
Diminishes it, right?
And the more diminished it is, the more it demonstrates that Avos Hashem, that's how the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Tavim and Dibay Seish from Yaisen Yehne Shal Perim. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, and that's Lama Eh, in Kamat HaMipotzi. Tavim and Dibay Seish from Yoyin. That's Avodah Rabba.
Right.
The maybe for sure is on the Rabban. Everything is Rabban. Right? The double Rabban? Okay. The Mishnah says when you fulfill it, so they're right, the Rabban Shalom said you gotta do it. So it doesn't really show that your love comes back. So you better do it, you burn again. So you have no merit, but when you volunteer to fulfill a din that the Rabban Shalom never told you to do, we did on our own. We instituted din of the Rabban on our own. The Jewish nation decided. We're going to fulfill the mission of the Rabbanah. That's the demonstration of Avos Hashem. That's why the mission says, Yitzayim in the Dech and Miyoyim, Chavim in the Mishtayim, Yitzayim in the Yenish Hoteir. That when we fulfill the mission of the Rabbanah, that shows that Avos Hashem more so than the fulfillment of the mission of the righteous. So the lower the level of the Din Rabbanah is, if it exists, if you keep it going low and low, then it disappears and it's non-existent. But Kodman, that it still exists, so the lower the obligation, the lower the level of obligation is, so the more it demonstrates that we go out of our way. Right? The greatest demonstration of Avos Hashem. Yeah. In a certain sense, it does have to do. Right? Because on the deen of the right, there's a big yitzhar that's pulling us away from the mitzvah that we shouldn't do it. So on the deen of the right, since it's more difficult to fulfill, because we have the yitzhar pulling again, so we're going to get more scar. On the deen of the right, we get less scar, even though there's a greatest demonstration of Avos Hashem, because it's easier to fulfill those mitzvahs. It's less of the yitzhar. Less of the eight hours to fulfill that. Less obligatory. Less machuyah. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Nachmal, you have, in Kol HaTorah Kulah, you have the din of Oichol is relevant to different cases. So with respect to Hafrashah, Shumas, and Maishas, it has to be Michael Oda. With respect to Kabbalah, Tumah, it has to be Michael Oda. If it's Michael Behem, it's not going to be Mikabbalah, Tumah. If it's Michael Behem, it's not Kaizen, Shumas, and Maishas. Not even the Rabban, only boxes, a little bit more like Hilo Sarim, because Chai is the Rabban on Shumas Mayim. But with respect to Muktzeh, that the Din says that whatever is Oichel is not Muktzeh. Whatever is not Oichel, whatever is junk. The basic definition of Muktzeh is a piece of junk. So something is not Roy Lachila, it's Muktzeh, that means it's not neither Michael Odom nor Michael Behemoth. You have something that's Michael Behemoth, that even though it's not Michael for Kabbalah Tula services, and it's not Michael for Shumas Mayim, but it's not going to be Muktzeh. So the Gemara says that if I have a behemoth, a mother cow, which I know is a trade for, and I won't be able to shecht it needed, so what am I going to do with this cow that is a trade for? It's going to die soon. Not soon or later. It's going to die pretty soon. Within your day, it's going to die. Trade behemoth high. So I'm going to have to feed it to the dog. So that cow already has a shame Michael Odom on. It has already a shame Michael behemoth on it. Once I label it as Michael behemoth, so it's not Mufsa. So not only does the cow have a shame Michael behemoth, the Uber inside the cow also has a shame Michael behemoth. So then later on, when the Uber is born on Yom Tov, so there's no reason to declare that as a Zoyvat Gomor or something that just came into existence in the middle of Yom Tov. It's Michael, that it didn't come into existence in the middle of Yom Tov. It was Michael in the beginning of Yom Tov. It was Michael to Haman. And now it switched, the nature of the Uber switched from Michael to Haman to Michael Lodom. So that's not called Muktzeh.
The
Bible gives
it to the Haman while he's still alive and still speaking?
Yeah.
We don't have to wait.
Means Abba Lechayim. No, the Gemara says the Yeridah is Shulchan Aruch. That is not the Yeridah, it's the Hebe Ezer. The Din of Tzav Balakayim are discussed in the Gemara in different places, and in Shulchan Aruch there's no specific place where they have it. So they have it at all places at the beginning of Eben Ezer. And it's Din and Hay, when they write that Din. Eben Ezer has it about all the marriage Din, about getting married, having babies, and so on. So it says you're not permitted to castrate a human being, and you're not permitted to castrate an animal. And then they give you all the details on how to treat animals. You're not permitted to be mean to any animals. So that's in Ebenezer, and of all places, Ebenezer, and soon at the end of Sinai. But it says that the Easter of Tzav Balechayim only applies when it's not with Tzorach Odom, or whenever it's with Tzorach Bnei Odom, whenever we need something. Let's say they're making experiments on mice or something, in order to find out the test medicine or something. But that's with Tzorach Bnei Odom, so there's no Easter of Tzav Balechayim. Or the Shulchan Aruch even gives an extreme case. Someone has to write a letter and he doesn't have a quill. He needs to write with the quill. So he has a duck running around and he's not interested in shepherding his duck. He wants the duck to run around for a while. So he just needs a feather. So it doesn't show up that strictly speaking it's permitted to yank out the quill from the duck while it's alive, because there's no prohibition of duck and the chayim and mocking stuff in the earth. Rambam just says that the minigis that we don't do is in order not to develop a midas hadori. Even though strictly speaking it's mutter, there's no prohibition of tzav ahan, because it's parah, but the minigis not to do. You get a quill, you get a pen from somebody. So in this case there wouldn't be an issue of tzav ahan. You're permitted to give a live animal to a behemoth to eat if the animal is hungry. If you have other food for the behemoth, why give it a live animal? Wait till the animal dies. But if you ran out of food, and that's what you have to feed the behemoth, so it's mutter, the rock you throw in the yard, and it's mutter. So the Gemara answered again, the Gemara answered that the Egel Shenerlat Lin HaTreif of the Yontif is not to be labeled as Muktzid, because it already had a shame Michael Adam in the beginning of Yontif. And even though Michael Behemah in the beginning of Yontif, because he plans to feed the Treifah to the Behemoth, and the Michael Behemah Shenishtan Aliyah, Michael Adam, is not Muktzid. So Abaye asks the Kasha on Rabba that doesn't make any sense. Abaye was a Talmud of Rabba, he was a nephew of Rabba, he was a Yosef. He lost his parents and Rabba was his uncle and Rabba raised him, so he learned by Abaye always learned by Rabba. Amalei Abaye, Abaye, Rabba, that it doesn't make sense on the top of Rabba on the day. Ashtu Mukhalavim, why have you Mukhalavim? What happens if you have a following case? You had Michael Adam, something in the beginning of Shabbat to Yom Tov with Michael Adam, then in the middle of Yom Tov, the Shabbat had changed. Somehow a change occurred and switched and now it became Michael Bain. So that's the original case of the Machlokes of Yudah and the Rabbanan in the Mishnah, whether it's Muktzid or not. We always give that example from the first daf in Beitza. If you have chicken in the pot in the beginning of Shabbat to Yom Tov, that's Michael Adam. Chicken in the pot. If Michael Adam is going to eat it, then when you finish eating the chicken, it depends. If you left over some chicken on the bones, that's still Michael Adam. They said, you're stuck, you don't want to eat the rest. They gave you all chicken. You can't eat the whole duck, the whole chicken is too much, you left over. But what you left over is still Royal Michael Adam. So that's not Muktzid. What happens is you've eaten up all of the chicken, you chewed up the bones, and there's absolutely nothing left even to feed to a dog. You chewed up the bones, there's nothing left at all. And then it's not as junk. Everybody agrees that it's mukta. What are the bottles and ashes? But it's broken piece of flesh. I'm mukta, man, it's junk. It's not royal achila, it's not royal conscious at all. But what happens if I ate the chicken in the pot, and I ate up all the chicken, and there's no more chicken left in the bones, just bones left. And the bones you can see to the dogs, and there are dogs available in the neighborhood. If I had something in the house, let's say the bottle smashed and in broken glass, let's say elephant teeth broken glass. If I'm near the Bronx Zoo and or if I live in the African jungle and there are elephants roaming around, but then the broken glass is called, if this would be true, that elephants, the Mishnah has some kind of wild animals eat broken glass. So if you live in the jungle where the wild animals are roaming around, so then the broken glass would not be considered looked. But if you live in we live in a civilized jungle, so then if no elephants around, then the Gemara says there would be Muktzid. But it says Shulchan Aruch that everybody has dogs around. Even if you don't have any of those, then someone else has a dog. So whatever is Michael HaKeled is never considered Muktzid. So what happens, this is the original Machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbanan, Beisham HaMitzvah, on the first half in Beis Tam. I ate up all the chicken on the bone, and I didn't chew up the bones, and the bones are not Roev HaMichael Behemah. So what I have is no lashen or gomor. This is not no lashgomor, like the chick that was hatched in the middle of Yom Tov. This is no lashen or gomor. It started off in the beginning of Shabbat Yom Tov, it's Michael Adam, and then it's converted to become Michael Bain. So that's the machlokes hatanan, whether it's Muktzid or not. That's the machlokes, and that's what I'm on Yom Tov will machmer about that. On Yom Tov will machmer for that Muktzid, and on Shabbat will make on that. That's the first step.
There's
an issue with the Rabbanim against feeding wild animals. No, it doesn't. There's an issue with the Rabbanim, but still, it's not called Muktzid because I can feed the animals tomorrow. I can give them this food after Yom Tov is over. So it's labeled as Michael Bay. If Bayim exists, even though there's an issue with the Rabbanim to be Matriya. No, so that makes it that it's not Muktzid. If it's a royal, he was Bayim that lives in the neighborhood, so even though I can't feed the animal today because of an issue with Tirche, you're not permitted to be matriarch on behalf of Zahima, that's not the same alapha, but still it's enough to label the bones as a non-mukta, as a Michael Bain. So the Gemara Tainis, Gemara gives another example, but all the examples are the same. If you have Michael Adam that wished to become Michael Behemoth, that's considered a change. It's not Nerlat Gomor, that everybody would agree that it's Muktzah, that's Nerlat Sheinu Gomor, that's Machlok Zavir and Rabbanon, and that's when we split the Pesach. That a Yom Zav will not run that Muktzah, not Shabbos Vameikol. So the Gemara says, so what are you telling me? That if you had something that started off as Michael Behemoth, why? Because the mother of the cow was a trait on Israel Achilas Kodom. In the middle of Yom Zav, the cow gives birth to an Uber, the cow gives birth to a Vlad, and that's not a trait, so the Vlad is not a trait. So now the Vlad is wearing a Michael Kodom. So you're telling me that that's not Mukhtar, Lachavah Be'ez, that's not Mukhtar. How can that be? If it started off as Michael Kodom, Michael Kodom eat it, I can eat it, or the dog can eat it. Come, I'm going to eat it. Michael, I'm not going to give it to the dog. So the start of Michael Kodom and it switches to become Michael Behemoth. You tell me that that is a machlokes, even though one could have argued that Yesh Bechal Messiah on him, no? That if it's Michael Adam, it's included, that it's all for Michael Behemoth. So whenever it's Michael Adam, it's A plus B. Adam Behemoth, we call Adam is A and Behemoth is B. So if whenever you have Michael Adam, it's both Michael Adam and Michael Behemoth. You can feed Michael Adam from the Behemoth, you can eat Michael Adam also. And then, in the middle of the day, you ate up the chicken on the bone, you only have bones left, and now it's only Michael Behemoth, so you tell me that that's no lies. Why is that no light? It started off both as Michael Behemoth and Michael, but still things have changed a little bit. If no light is enough legacy, so if you start off with something that's only Michael Behemoth, I've had Behemoth that's traceful. So it's only Michael Behemoth, it's not Michael Adam at all. And then in the middle of the answer to Tracy gives birth to a Vlad, the Uber is born, which is Michael Adam, and it becomes Relach Elos Adam, which it wasn't in the beginning of the day, that should certainly be a Machlokes HaTanayim. Whether that's Mukhtar. How can you tell me that everybody would agree that it's not Mukhtar? That's Matkifu Abaye, Amalei Abaye, that's Abaye Tzah Rabbe. How can you tell me that Hashemuhu Adam, Loi Havi Mukhtar Mislavim, it started at the beginning of Yom Tov Shabbat, that it was Michael Adam. Even though Yesh B'chol Simon, it's both Michael Adam and Michael Behemoth, it's still in the middle of Shabbat and Yom Tov, it converts, it changes. And it becomes only Michael Behemoth, I say that's the Machlokes HaTanayim, we're Machlokes on Yom Tov. He brings the whole raya, it doesn't matter, we gave the raya from the chicken. He ate the bones, let's go, he might give the different raya. So he signed it on the fifth line in the dust. So she's Mukham with Lodin. I'll be Mukham with Lodin. You're going to tell me that it's the beginning of Shabbat the Yom Tov was Michael Behemoth, and not Michael Lodin, because then the animal was a tracer. In the middle of Shabbat the chain, and now it's also Roy Lachim of Sodom. So that's certainly a greater change, it's a major change. That should certainly be a Machlokes HaTanayim. How can you tell me that everybody agrees that it's not Mukhtar? The Omalei, so Rabbi answers up by it, yes. Even though it sounds a little paradoxical, Dr. N, that's Salah, a Mukham Adam Bahabi, Mukham Aslogan. Whatever is Roy Lachim of Sodom, you don't say, Yesh Bukham Mustain Mona. He can certainly have given it to the dogs to eat. He can certainly could, but he wouldn't give it to the dogs. Why? The Maizu Chazuel Leinish. Whatever is wrong for Achilas Adam, Lo Shani Le, Liklovin, he would never throw it to the dogs. He would bask it himself. But Mukham Liklovin, Havi Mukham Adam. But if something started off in the beginning of Shabbat, the answer is Michael Behemoth, then in the middle it changed to become Michael Adam. I say all along, it had the status of Michael Adam also. Why? That's not considered a change. The Daitei Dinish, everybody has in mind, Achol Libi Dechazi Le. And anything that could possibly become Royal Achilos Adam. So that's what we pass from our law. That if something started off as Michael Behemoth and then converted to become Michael Adam in the beginning, in the middle of the day, however that happened, that's not a problem of Mukhtar. The Chola days that would not be Mukhtar. But if the reverse occurred, it starts off as Michael Adam, then it converts in the middle of the day to become Michael Behemoth, so that's Noelah She'en Lugomur. So that would depend on the Machlokes HaTanayim, and we would be Machmer on Yom Tov to declare that Mukhtar make a Lashon.
What would be the
Sometimes if you do the shechita improperly, you make it into the veil. Sometimes if you do the shechita improperly, you made it into a nevela. Oh, then it's machlokes shenishtana liyaz machlokes. So then it'll be a machlokes hatanan. So on Yom Tov, we're talking Yom Tov. On Shabbos, we don't shef. On Yom Tov, we'll declare that it'll be noel shen of gomer.
Exactly.
But if I shechted the animal properly, not that I made it into a nevela, not that I made it into a trade, I shechted it properly, it turns out that by checking the monks or whatever, it turns out that it always was a trade for just that I wasn't aware. It turns out that I made a mistake. It was always, always really my fault. But then it wouldn't be more.
Why should it be a fish in respect to that? A cat could be a woman. I think that this is a great paradox for the English here. The fact that I used to know what should be also. Yes.
That's a big fish. That's what we discussed last year. We discussed that how can it be that the mother is a trace on the blood of kosher? That's what all the Rishon. And I doubt no one discussed it. But in Chulim the Rishon discussed it. That's a major issue. But how long is it is kosher? It is a fish. So they might just quote that there's one brighter that says like Rav, one brighter that says like Shmuel, by the chick that I'm attached to the middle of Yom Tov, whether I declare it as no longer drummer or not. Okay, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that's the whole story.
Yeah. No,
they
have to shechet the
fish. But the Rabbanim, you have to shechet the member.
Why
do you mean, but with the Rabbanim, you have to shechet the, so what if you shechet it improperly?
But
it is kosher. You mean, would it be also b'achilim with the Rabbanah? I think it is also b'achilim with the Rabbanah. The only thing is, the shayla, what if you shef the ben pekuah and then you bite it inside and it turns out that it's a chase. But I think it says that, I think it says in Yerazeri, based on the Gemara Chum, and that then there's no Easter of traces. It's only Mishnah Marisayin. So there's no Marisayin one, what's going on inside the body. But how you did the Shechita, if he didn't do the shechita, so that's cool. The not doing shechita, that's the Marisa. Yeah. By Ben Pekul, would it be good? I don't think. No, Minatera is not doing shechita at all. But the Rabbanon, yeah, it's not shechita.
The Marathon?
Name Marathon? Rabbi Kivega has a shot of day. He quotes that there's a discussion in Svarim when you shech the Ben Pekua, which means Shechit with Rabban and Ma'asayim, do you recite a bracha or not? Hala Shechit. It's not a real Shechit, even the Rabban is not a real Shechit. It's only a make-believe Shechit because of Ma'asayim. What the onlookers will think, so they think that I'm eating an animal without shech.
No, it's not a
real.
No, the deal is that you said Rav when you shech the behemoth, but when you shech the Ben Pekua, that's the shah. Yeah, why not? He's going to kill it anyway. He's not going to eat it alive. Yeah, he's going to kill it anyway. So the question is, he's going to shoot it, or is he going to... He can't shoot it on Yom Tov. Is he going to stab it, or is he going to kill it according to Shechit? Okay. Rabbi Kivega quotes this Shaila. There was a sefer that was printed in New York that was supposed to be, that was allegedly a Shuvas HaRosh, a collection of Shuvas by the Rosh. It was called the Son of Rosh. And it was later on discovered to be a forgery. It was written by a shop fellow who was a great man of Shuvas, a big Tom Kochan, and he got a Haskama for the Merib Yehuda, among other people. The Merib Yehuda came out of because he knew his father. His father was a big rock in Berlin. And the son was a nut. But the son published this forgery, which is supposed to be Shuvas HaRosh, with his own footnotes on the bottom. The text of the Shuvas HaRosh is called Tzamid Rosh. The footnotes are called Kasa D'Arsana. The Kasa D'Arsana, that was his. He said that it's his. And the text of the Shuvas is called the Tzamid Rosh. And Kivega apparently didn't realize that it was a forgery. Many guys didn't realize. So the Kivega quotes his Kaseim on Shulchan Aruch, and his Hagoyot on Shulchan Aruch. So this is the Shabbat that he quotes from the Tzamid Rosh. Whether when you shech the center cooler when you need a bracha. And now it's assumed that the fellow was an apikoiris, was a federation, a sugar, and all kinds of, he put in all kinds of wild things in the Shuvas HaRosh. Among them is that there's no laws of midas in front of them. That a woman doesn't have to go to mikvah, because since we don't observe any laws of sumo the tara, right, so you don't have to observe the laws of midas either. That's what the Rosh said. But he knows that the Rosh didn't think so. The Rosh wrote over all the Hilchos Migdal. Do you think it?
Yeah.
No one ever read the whole text?
No one ever read the whole text.
Rabbi Yochum Perlman, who put out this big Sefer Migdal, I'm sad he's going to write it. He wrote a whole essay, around 40 pages long, to demonstrate that this was the fourth word. Rabbi Yochum Perlman lived in, he died in the 1930s, I guess. Why did he die? Around 1930s or so. And this forgery was printed in the 1830s. And his essay wasn't printed. I've written about his essay wasn't printed until a year after he passed away. It was printed in the 1960s and the 1970s in one of the old volumes of Noam that I remember Kashi used to publish. But after that essay was printed, so now everybody knows that it's a forgery. But even before the essay was printed, it was generally assumed that it was a forgery. But Kivegi didn't know. He closed that trial in the corner, actually. Yeah, the Rav always, the Rav said that very also, no laws are tied on Shmach today. That's ridiculous. That's another wild thing. Okay, let's see, we left off in the middle of the Daf. Toner up on, right in the middle of Vav on the day. Since we learned also, this is going to be Toner up on, I crush another, the other, Arthur. That was one of the two opinions we had in our playlist, whether if the chick is born, do I say it's Mela Drummer, or do you say, Hoyolo Materas from the sheep? So this is right over the day. But if the Afroya, if the chick breaks out of the shell on a weekday, so there's no problem on book, so then you may shaft the chick on the same day that it's born. Not later than Yankee Fine there, Apkocholos, and not only is there a problem on Yom, but even on the weekdays it starts at the shaft, the fishman is Pascu, Eino, because the eyes didn't open up yet. Unless the eyes open up the same day that it was born, then he would say that it's okay. But if the eyes didn't open up yet, then it's forbidden. In my mind, well, the Tanya, whose opinion does the following writer represent, and it says in the Bible, V'chol HaSheret, HaSheret Al HaOred, you have a Pasuk, all the Pesukim Basharotim seems to be repetition. He keeps on saying, don't eat the Sheret, don't eat the Sheret. We don't know exactly why it says, don't eat the Pesukim, but eat the Sheret. So one of the writers says, we're out of the Pesach Lunit Pasuk name. One writer says that one of the Pesukim on Sheret is referring to chicks that are going to develop into chickens, but they didn't open up their eyes yet. Even though you'll shaft it, it'll be Nisa B'Shita, it won't be called an Avela, but it's a Nisa Sheret, so there it is. The Gemara says, whose opinion is that? That's a blessed in Yankee. The Gemara says, in Mechulim, that's only an Asmach in the Rabbah. Even if the Yankee didn't really mean it, Yikera didn't derive. The whole Bryce is only Asmach. And we mentioned there's a Machlekes in the Rishon, whether he's talking about a blessed in the Yankee or against him, because the Gemara has a claw. Mishnah says, blessed in the Yankee, Kav, the Noki, that whatever the Mishnah quotes of Blaz Mayankov, we pass Kalanka, and Kav means in a very small measure, he's hardly ever quoted in the Mishnah. He hardly ever appears. Kav is small enough. But it's not easy. We always, it's clear. Whenever he's quoted in the Mishnah, we always pass something. But that's only Mishnah. But if it's a Braisa, then the Kalal does not necessarily apply. If I'm trying to say, even though the Kalal doesn't necessarily apply, then here we do pass like a Blaz Mayankov. That's taking some of an hour. But it's over here. It's over an hour. It's something that we do pass like a Blaz Mayankov. It looks like a fresh and over. And the reason they're not, I'm saying that's not. The Ayin Mishpat, the notes, the man Dalit points out that the Mish passing, the Mish and the Ram passing against the Laker of Lezmeh. No, Machlek is not a pass. Now comes the major Gemara. Amar Abun Amar Abun. Rabuna says in the name of Rab, we're learning Beisa, so the Gemara is going to delve a little bit into Hilchos Beisa. What could be Hilchos Beisa? So the Gemara is going to have a whole Dach Gemara when the egg develops inside this hen's body. The first, when it starts to develop, it's like a piece of flesh. It's part of the body of the kagufo. And then after a certain point, after a certain stage of development, then it is labeled as a beisa, and it's no longer labeled as a gufa tanagrelis. So the question is, when is that cutoff point? That it's no longer considered kagufa tanagrelis, and now it's considered a beisa. It's not like an abstract hakira. Might not commit it. What's the difference? You might as well not commit it. Is it fleshing or is it tarot? I want to know. We know that eggs are parve, but if the egg is still in a very early stage of development, it's not as kagufa tanagrelis. So just like the chicken is fleshig, so the hen will also be fleshig. Chicken fleshig is machlekes. Right, machlekes is marhulam, but it's fleshig when I tell fleshig the rabban. So we're going to pass that it's only the rabban. One the rabban. Okay, one the rabban. So we want to know at what point does it cease being fleshig and it switches to become parve. That's the shayla that is the rabban. Okay. Well, let's say a shaylana didn't derive it. Let's say I have a chicken, I have a egg, and it dies a natural death. Instead of shafting it, it dies a natural death. So anything that goof ha tanagolas, is nevela, it's an eaten nevela. But if the hen develops the chicken, if the hen develops the egg, so much develops that it's not holding by coming out, then maybe I should say that it's no longer kaguha panagrevis, and it's kinoldo. Let the hen lays an egg, and then the second lays an egg, I shoot the hen. You're going to tell me that the egg is up to bachila. Why should the egg be
there?
First the egg came out, then you shoot it. So what if I didn't shoot the egg after the... I didn't shoot that after the egg came out. Let's say I shoot the hen, or the hen dies a minute before the egg comes out. So also, say that the egg is still, if the egg is not fleshing anymore because it's fully developed, it's completed already, it's no longer to go for time to go. So it wouldn't be anything to say about it. So even though you're not allowed to eat the whole time to go, but you wouldn't be permitted to eat the egg. Oh, the mashal, another not permitted, that's basically identical, but there may be some slight differences. There is a din that if an animal dies a natural death, not only is there a nisa nevela, it's a din to eat it, but it has tumas nevela. That if you touch it, or if you carry it, so it'll be in the tana either the mag or the mas. If you touch it like this, and you didn't move it, then it's only if you're not wearing gloves. But if you're wearing gloves and you just touch it, then there's no mag. But if you move it, even if you're wearing gloves, or if you carry it, even if you're wearing gloves, that's called tumas masa. So niblas behem is entirely the marker of ubalas, either if you touch it or if you move it. And if you have a niblas, let's say a sheriff, the chumash singles that eight rodents, eight shmeine shvatim, hamun, matar, the parrot in shot, the shmeine shvatim, so the nishka lists off, and the pasuk in Parsha Shmini, the chumash lists off the shmeine shvatim, the eight rodents, that if they die, if you touch them, entirely only the marker, not the mas, has less tumor than an animal that dies. And what if it's an oaf, not even a rodent? But if it's an oaf that dies, so then the halacha distinguishes between a niblas aishtar as opposed to a niblas aishtar. If it's an eagle that dies, an eagle even if he shechted, it's not, shechit is not chal on a behem, it's a mea shechit, it's not, you can't shecht an elephant, you can't shecht a horse or a pig, and you can't shecht an eagle, even if you shecht it, it's not called a shechit. But if an eagle dies or any trace of bird dies, there's no tumor whatsoever. You're not allowed to eat it. It's a min tamei. But there's no tumor. No matter, no matter, no tumor at all. But if it's a niblas, let's say a chicken dies a natural death instead of shechting and it dies, so not only is it an iser achilas, not an nevela, it has a little bit of tumor also. But what's the level of tumor? It doesn't have tumor smago. If you touch it, it won't be mitamio. It doesn't have tumor smago. If you carry it, it won't be mitamio. It only has tumor based on it. If you swallow it, if you eat it, but then it'll be mitamio as it's going down your throat. The Gemara learned it up on the Pasuk in Chumash. If niblas, so it's tahor, if you'll swallow it. There's a Mishnah in Tarek that has it. There are 13 demons that apply. You came up on the end of the Nibla Saisar. That's one of the 13 demons that apply to the Nibla Saisar or to the chicken that dies. It's the Tamei Abeis Abeis you swallow. So we're more going to have a discussion at the next stop. What if I have a hen died a natural death, so it has too much of the Nibla? If I cut out some of the meat of the chicken and I swallow a kazayis of it, so then it'll be the time in the Abeis Abeis. What if I'll take the eggs that are inside the body of the hen and I'll swallow them? Will they be the tamimi or not? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. Whenever the egg is still in the early stage of development and it's still kibasar, so then it's a din of tumas nevelos hatzar. It's mamish kibasar. Whenever it crossed over the border, it's in the later stages of development and it's no longer din of kibasar, then it will not be the tamimi. So these are several of the napkininas that the Gemara is going to bring up over here. Whenever it's mutabachim, it's such a nothing to tell me. There may be a distinction, it should be here, it should go hand in hand, it should be the same. The Gemara says there may be an afkamina on the level of the right, there's absolutely no afkamina. Maybe an afkamina on the level of the rabbana. It may throw in a few chumras to negate to achila to declare that even though it's not ina kibasa, it's still also b'achila the rabbana, which possibly would not apply to tumah because the rabbana will be reluctant to increase tumah. To say that it's Rosh Bachila, so throw in another Isa Achila. Why not? Maybe we'll throw in a Chumim of the Rabban, double the Rabban, triple the Rabban, the rest, throw in a Chumim. But the Gemara says, when he gave the Tumas, the Chachamim were reluctant to introduce Chumis and Tumas. How exactly do you say they were reluctant to introduce Chumis and Tumas? We have in the New Chesed Dover, in the first circuit chapter, there may be 18 there, there's so many wild Chumis with the Rabban, and some of the Tarek is one, to the uneducated eye, I would get the impression that there were more Machmer and Tumas of Tarek than they were in Eastern Akhila. I don't know, but that's what the Gemara says in the next doubt. That over here, with respect to the Nibla Sessor, one might distinguish that maybe the Negeta Akhila, they acted with their Abonon, Dino Kibosto, that it has an Eastern Adeta, and the Negeta Tumah, and not because they were reluctant to cause more Tumah. To what?
To stokes in the house.
Not exactly. The din is if you shech the cow and there's milk in the udders, it's not fleshig, but it's not milk either. It's part of it. That's called chol shchuta. Because the chumash says, "Lezvashu gediba chalei imo." You're not allowed to cook the goat with the milk from the mother. So what does milk from the mother mean? That you milk the cow, you took the milk out. What happens if the milk is still inside the body, it's still inside the udder? So then the Gemara says that it's not milchik min atera, it's only milchik min derabon. But it's not, that's not a shleishik min atera. Min atera is part of it, because it's not dina kibosar, and it's only milchik min derabon. Why isn't it dina kibosar? That's what you want to know. Why isn't it dina kibosar?
That's a
good question. Why isn't it dina kibosar? So there seems to be, in our cases, there seems to be a flaw. The Rabban Kotler wrote a whole shuva based on this premise. He wrote a shuva that they're using rennet from a kosher animal to make cheese. And then with his shuva, he postulates the flaw. The Rabban also suggested in Shiurim, based on this thesis that's quoted the other day, based on Adab, that in order for milk to be milkic, and in order for flesh to be fleshig, it has to have tambos and it has to have tamkolos. So even though it's basur, but if it doesn't have tambosor, it won't be flesh. So if you have milk inside the udder, it probably... milk. Milk is, I think, 87% water. I'm not mistaken, something like that. So let's say you remove all of the water from, not by evaporating, you separate the water from the milk. But make it cheap. If you separate the curd from the liquid, then you'll be left with whey, W-H-E-Y. Then if you keep on steaming after a little more, that's what the more called mechol. And let's say you further separate, remove even more of the milk particles from the whey, then the water that will be left will be called Nei-Nei-Cholo. That's what they call it in Shulchan Aruch. When you separate the Nei-Shi to the whey that's left, it's called Nei-Cholo, the water from the milk, but it's not really water, it's still, milky. And then if you separate all of the milk particles from the whey, well, the water that's left is not just going to be plain old water, that's going to be called Nei-Nei-Cholo. So the Gemara says that May Cholov is part of the Nasir. And it's only milk in the Rabbanim. On the other day, it is the machlokes and rishayim, whether that refers to way, that way is part of the minatayra in the form of milchik to the rabbanon. Oh no, way is milchik minatayra, but it refers to the main mechalos. The Gemara doesn't have two different rishayim, mechalos and main mechalos. This was introduced by the rishayim. The rishayim have two different expressions. But the rishayim have this machlokes. What is which separation is the Gemara referring to? The first separation or the second? But at least the second one, let's say, after you remove entirely all of the milk particles from the, all of the cheesy particles, the solid particles from the milk, and just left with plain old water, the 87% that was water all along to begin with, from the Nataira, that's part of it. And it's only milk from the Rabbana. So the Shah and the Aradeya write, as this one opinion in the Rush Quote of Lezer Minister says, that once you reach the point of May May Hollow, you have separated the 87% water from the milk particles, and he says that liquid that's part of Minatayra, yeah, is trace Minatayra. What's up with trace Minatayra? So he says because the Gemara, the other Gemara is bothered with the problem, how are you allowed to drink milk at all? Question mark. Milk comes from a live animal, just like the live animals are Hanei Minachai. So the milk that comes out should be a yelchim and a hatsu should be also, like if the milk comes from a steak, you're not allowed to drink because the steak is also. Even a cow is also traded. You didn't check the cow yet. So you have to milk the cow. So the milk out. Who said you're allowed to drink? Who said you're allowed to drink? So the Gemara answers everything. Called Raj, a something that you see called as milk. But if you're telling me that this way is part of the Minatayra, you're telling me not the way, but the Nechal of the way is clear. The second stage of way, whatever you call it, must be a term for that too. It's part of the Minatayra. So why is it part? Because it's not Cholov. So it's not Cholov, it should be trained. Because there's no problem that says that it's Mutter, that's the Kasha. There are pleasures in this, that's the Dana Hanami, that's the Din, that it's part of training. No, come on, that's all together as well. No, so we say Kaufman that is together with all milk. That's what the Dr. Schubert discusses. What is when you'll take it apart, then it will no longer be called milk. I don't know. Kaufman that is all together, then it's all called color. Everything is called color. That's what the Dr. Schubert calls the Shiloh. Let's say milk falls into a pot, and you're not sure if you have shishim against milk falls into a pot of flesh. And you're not sure if you have shishim in the whole pot of flesh against all of the milk. But the milk is 87% water. So it's only 13% milk. Again, 13% milk, for sure you have shishim. So should I say, since only 13% of the liquid that fell in is milk menatayra, and against that I certainly have shishim, but on a level of their right, there is no problem. And the 87% that's water, that's only milk is been rabbanon on, so if that is something, you can have shishim against that, that should be a topic shishim with the rabbanon, so that should be mutter. The one that rain raises possibility, so the mukashi quotes that and say no, that is wrong. Thank you, Kalushkin, talks about this in one of his stories. And he doesn't quote the Achrayim with discussion. So he discussed it with this one, or with the other one, or with the other one, and nobody knew that it's discussed on the bottom of the Yeridei. So Dr. Shulman says, so the Achrayim all say the standard answer is, that on Ezra Mahmoud, when he said it's 87%, that's water in the milk, is part of it, that after you've separated it, it's part of it. Because none of it's all together, it's all labeled as color. Everything is color. They're not saying everything is still color. They're not saying that's why the Rashi Pesach Frank has a discussion on the following case. It says in the Yeridei that if I have a pot of milk boiling on top of the fire and has no lid on it, and I have a pot of flesh inside the oven, let's say, I have a pot of flesh or a pan of flesh directly above it, so the milk is going to evaporate, it's going to get absorbed into the flesh of fire, and it's going to become shake. The heaven is going to go up and it's going to make it bust of the chalom. So he raises the question, will not be bust of the chalom in Atera, or bust of the chalom in the Rabbana? Might ask him in if he ever saw it. Why should it be a shadow that is not a temple? The only thing that evaporates is the water. The milk particles are not going to evaporate, only the water evaporates. So once you've separated the water from the milk, so it's part of the matter, it's only milk from the Rabbana. Or maybe I should say no, maybe those taste not separated. Because since the steam is still coming up from the milk on the bottom, so it's still connected a little bit with the milk on the bottom. So maybe I'll be then, the steam that evaporates is still considered the chuba with the curd, with the milky part of the milk, and maybe it's still milk is not there. That's what he has a shuvah malachi. He's not sure. That din that it says in Yeridea, that's the Chuvat HaRosh, the Machabah quotes in Yeridea, that if you have an open pot of milk, if it's closed, then it's not going to, the evaporation is not going to go up. It will condense on the bottom of the lid and will pour back into the top. But if it's an open pot of milk that's directly below a pot of maize, it says in the Yeridea, based on the Chuvat HaRosh, that the milk evaporates and it goes up, and we assume that it may be Nidla. Maybe that it's not, but we have to be afraid that it may be Nidla, maybe absorbed into the pot of flesh on top, make a tray. So that the Beit HaTanya is not sure whether that's an issue of the right, or the worst it can be is an issue of the Rabban. That's the Shaila. When is it considered as being separated?
Why
is
using the hand
kosher
Was the right lachila to begin with?
It doesn't have any marach inside. If you have marrow, if you have moach inside a bone, the moach is not a sinikabasa. If you don't have any moach, the moach is completely dried up, or it's converted into powder. It's dried up, turned into fat, then it's just a natural stone. Just in the power. That'll be power. So this is what we're going to discuss on this dot. At what point does the beis convert from dino kigufa tanagurlis, and it's part of the tisana tanagurlis, to become a separate entity? The Rabbuna quotes Rabbi saying, beis imitziyata nigmor, when it comes out of the body of the head, and anything before that, it's considered kigufa tanigur. The Gemara says, what exactly is he driving at? My image of the Gemara. What does that mean? With respect to which halacha? My nafkamina. If I should say, image of the Gemara, at that time it becomes a parva egg. When the terrace we offer the chola, then it's parva. And you can eat it with milk. But, hold in the eggimo, when it's still in the egg, it's still inside the b'nei me'ayim. Inside the kishka, so the tanigur, that's the really offer the chola. You're going to tell me a story that the eggs are fleshing, called man that they hang in lady eggs. The Gemara says, not true. The last time we have an explicit right to this quote in Shulchan Aruch. Hashem is a panagurus. Not the dog ate in Gimurai. Hashem is a panagurus. And I find inside the panagurus completed basin. Mutarakli Achlam the Cholov. It says that they're parva. There's a question exactly, what does this mean? What's called Basin Gemurah? Basin Gemurah means that the
shell.
No. It doesn't mean it's a shell. Pasta doesn't mean it's a shell. What it is. And Rashi, what is Rashi saying? Basin Gemurah. Rashi is way up on top here. About 10 lines from the top. 12 to 13 lines from the top of the dot. Basin Gemurah, I feel it's a little creep on the Ghana without a shell. Elishah, Chalmon Levado Gomur. The Chalmon is the yellow, and the Chalbon is the white. The Rashi says if the chelmon, you just have the yellow is completed, even though you don't have the white, that's already considered based on the Gemura, and it's parva. Other Rishonim disagree. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's the shadow whether you have to salt it or not. The shadow whether you have to salt the eggs to take out the dung.
Right.
And then other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. There's a long shot on this in the other day, so let me take that. Other Rishonim say no. The basin gemurah is mean chelmon with chelmon. You have to have the yolk of the egg with the white. If it doesn't have the white, I think there's a third sheet that it means doctor with a cleaver. And then there's another town on the next dot who disagrees with this. On the next dot, the gemurah quotes Rabbi Yaakov, who disagrees with the town. Tanakhama says that the gemurah is part of it. And Rabbi Yaakov disagrees and he says, if it's still more of the gittin, if it's still attached with the blood vessel, still attached to the blood vessels of the hand, then it's still flesh. As long as it's no longer more of a gizm. So in Yeridea, all four sheets are quoted, because there's one machloke, when you're showing whether you pass like Rabbi Yaakov or you pass like the Tanakhama. And then there's a further machloke, because all the three children within the Tanakhama, what exactly did he mean by Beitin Gemur? Does he mean just the yolk, or does he mean the chelmon with the chelmon, the yolk with the white, or does he mean chelmon, and with a cleaver kosher, with a hot shot. So all the four sheets are quoted in the Yeridea. All the four logical possibilities. So the Gemara times over here, you cannot say, this is going to fit sheet. The Rav is quoted as saying, only when the
hen lays the egg, and before the egg comes out of the hen, then it's still fleshy. That doesn't coincide to any of the sheeps. It's not true. The Sefer should write to that the Cholodei, it's all the Pahan agree that such an animal exists, such a thing exists, that Hashem, the Tanagodos, and there are eggs inside the Tanagodos that were not born yet, that are going to be parable. That's the Cholodei. The only question in the everyday is, the four different sheeps, when are they parable? But you can't say any Tiyasa. You can't say, like, Rab, what Rab is this to do with all the Tanagodos? Sometimes you have Rab Tanagodos, but we don't know over here that Rab should disagree. So the Gemara says, no, hello, what Rav meant to say was a different thing. And the Tiyasa Nigma meant to the Yachal of the Yonder. He must have learned a different thing. The Machlek is Hatanayim. That says, the Machlek is the Shang Yisrael, what is Beit HaShinolda? Beit HaShinolda, the Yonder. What is Beit HaShinolda of the Era of Yonder? That is one Machlek. So the Gemara says over here, the Tiyasa Nigma means, what if I shech the Tanagodos on Yonder? And I find the eggs inside. So would you say that the eggs are mukta? If you find it inside, the eggs are mukta now. Machlok is the shamisul that appears in the Mishnah is if the hen lays the egg on yontif. What if the hen wasn't zecha to lay the egg? I shech the hen on yontif and I find an egg inside. Would you say that that egg is mukta? Would you more suggest no? Elro, that's what Rav meant. Him is yotin yikmira on the terrace of the yontif. If the egg was nozah before yontif, then it won't be mukta. If not, on yontif, then it will be mukta. Or the Neima, but if I shech the Tanagodos and it has an egg inside, Asura, the Yachl of the Yontif, then the egg will be Mukta. So the Gemara says that's not true. It cannot be that that's not true. We know that that's not true. So on time, if you haven't, the Sefer should write to that sentence, you have it on that base. I shech the Tanagodos on Yontif, I shech the Hen, multiple bases of Mukta, so it's the Yachl of the Yontif, that it's not Mukta. So all my questions to Shami says only is if the hen lays it, if it's born on Yontif. But if the hen doesn't lay the egg is still inside, then it's not. Alright, this is the thing that says, maybe the Gemara is going to go into a further discussion. We'll learn it in a minute. The Tosis here raises the question. Here's the famous Tosis. Diba Hamascha Beitim Gemuras. Diba Hamascha Beitim Gemuras says, of course, the Mishnah and Adios. You see on the first very wide line in the Tosis. On the first wide line in the Tosis on the Daf. The Kosher is the Mishnah and Adios, but there's the Machlokes, the Shana, the Tzula, what's the Dina? Beit Tos Nebeva. A hen dies a natural death, but there's a Dina of too much nevela on the hand. It's time and time it was mother and mother. You touch it and carry it on the tamid. You'll follow it. It's your tamid based up here. If you follow it, it'll be the tamid. So there's a machlek is there, b'shamishitu. What if he didn't swallow the besar ha-beis? So he didn't swallow the besar ha-nevela. He didn't eat the flesh of this hand that died. But he'd rather eat the beis. So there's a machlek is ha-tan. What kind of a beis did he eat? There's a machlek is ha-tan. He ate a beis that should convoice him and carry it by shuk. A hen dies, and I cut off the hen, and I find inside a fully developed egg that has a hard shell on it. The same way you would sell it in the store. Chicken boysan and carrot mashuk, an egg similar to this would be sold in the store. If you don't sell eggs in the store, you put them in the container, so they have to have shells on them, otherwise it's going to fall all over the place. So there's a machlegis, the shamay say that there's no reason to eat it, and if you eat it, it won't be metamiyu. Or they fill out ocean and they still say that it has an eastern event, even though it has a hard shell on it. The basis of passion, even though it has a hard shell, but since it wasn't born yet, so they fill out today and we pass like we took. Whenever there's my friend Shami, so we pass on it. There's very few exceptions to this. They see that it has Dino Kibosar, calls mind that it wasn't born yet. It has a hard shell, completely separated from the tiger. And still you say Dino Kibosar, that it has an eastern event and everything. So how come the Gemara says over here that it's parable? Isn't that a contradiction? That's the place it's going to be. This is a kasha that all the Shemitah. What do you do with that Mishnah Eidah? The place it gives two answers. The place is one answer. The Yesh Maimah at the time of Mishnah that Sarah will call it as long as they're Abana. So what they feel about it, they say that the reason why we distinguish is that the Negei has to eat the Achilas Nevela, that's the Nisa Deraita. The Negei has to cook the egg with milk, the worst it can mean is only the Rabban. Because even if you cook the chicken itself with the milk, it would only be an Nisa Bat, we'll call it the Rabban. Because chicken in the Nisa is part of it, only the Eime. Only the Eime is glacier in the Nisa. So the Negei has to bat the Bechala with Mako, that if it's completely developed even before it comes out of the Kupatana Gerla, it's a separate entity, it's not the Nisa. But again, the Eastern Nevela, the Achmed, is not the Eastern Nevela. The Son of Eastern Iker, as in, they start to lock him out at an early stage. But the Achmed, but again, the Eastern Nevela. So based on this thesis, that they quoted the other day. What's the din when you shecht a chicken? They're not supposed to cook the chicken before you salt it in order to remove the dung. What happens if the wool would start to bleed? Real dung, the wool would start to bleed. So the halacha says that that wool, that blood is only offered if it's done the hay or chayah. If the table starts to bleed, real blood, that's mutter. So what happens if you have a tanagrelis, and the tanagrelis gives out an egg, the hen lays an egg, and the egg has been full of blood. So the din is that blood is mutter. You can eat the whole thing. Mark just has a din that sometimes if you have a blood spot in the egg, not all the time, sometimes you have a blood spot in the egg, this is an indication that it was a fertilized egg. It was fertilized by a rooster, and it's the beginning of life of a chick. And you didn't shech the chick. It didn't develop fully. So it's an easy mazela. That's why you're not allowed to eat an egg with a blood spot. It's not allowed to eat some dam. Dam would be mutter, because dam is only after a certain condition. It's dam behem achai v'yoy. So Kozman that the date sources can also, Kozman that the date is in the early stages of development, so the date is eating kibosa. But after the date is already born, after the date is already, the sign of God gave birth to the date. So Lachomah is not the source of Lachomah. So then there wouldn't be a need for dam. Even though the dam came from the sign of God. So you ignore that. You can swallow the egg with the blood. The only problem is that sometimes the fact that there's a blood spot is an indication that it's the beginning of fertilization, beginning of development of a chick, in which case it would have an ether and ether in the vela, and then the Gemara says, Shavi Tichla the Kula. That you're not allowed to eat the whole egg then, not just the blood spot you're not allowed to eat. It would be an Issa dam, only the dam would be on. The rest of the egg would be mutter. But because it's an indication that this egg has begun to develop into a chick, so the whole content is the eggshell you can eat. The eggshell is not going to turn into a chick. If you're interested in eating eggshells, it has that value, it has some kind of value in it. Calcium, yeah. But the content of the egg, the mother is shami tikh with the cool of the Easter of the vela, is chal on the entire egg. Huh? No, no. Only the star had a egg was the star in the name. The shepherd's not for sure, it's not the star had a egg. Bizman Azeh, Rabbi J. Feinstein writes in the statement that Bizman Azeh, where they have these egg farms, so they're very careful to make sure that the roosters do not come anywhere near the hens, because otherwise all of their eggs are going to be full of blood spots, and they don't want them, because they won't want to buy it. No one wants to buy them with egg farms. So all of the eggs today are not, none of the eggs today are fertilized. None of them are fertilized, those that come from the egg farm. So when you have a blood spot, weaker and in, it's really mutter. That's what the Gemara calls after the arrow. The eggs were developed by the hen sitting on the ground and absorbing somehow dust and sand from the earth of the ground. Not at all, it wasn't fertilized by a rooster at all. So weaker and in, all the blood spots today are really mutter. And you don't have to throw the egg, you don't have to kasha the pot. And I think the only thing is that since the minig is that we're very lucky, we don't like to eat the blood, so you said the people check the egg, and if they find blood, they throw out the minig is to throw out the whole egg. But let's say you've already fried the egg, you have a whole bowl full of fried egg, and then you see a blood spot. But then he said, you're not going to throw out the whole thing. You just throw out the part that has the egg, the blood in it, and the rest of it you can eat, because it's just a shum rubber mowers. It's like the shock for the people don't eat it in it. But it really has nothing to be considered a double loss. But it's not really, it's not an Eastern dam, it's not an Eastern event. It's really no Eastern. You wouldn't even need chicken. It says if you wouldn't need rope. You wouldn't need rope. It's mutter. The only thing is that we don't need, we don't like chicken. Not all of the, they're not so careful with all of the egg farms. And then most of the egg farms, they're not good to make sure that there's no rooster. Others are not good. Depends which company. Other Rabbanim have kindness against their measures to the best. Some Rabbanim who live in the mountains, they expect by their egg farm, they're not good. A lot of the eggs were first class. Now, you went to other egg farms. That's the shot. But unless you find the roll of the egg, the roll of the egg that we get. Yes. In a lot of countries in Europe, they don't eat the roosters away. They have a real problem. Sometimes the whole egg, and they don't cancel the eggs either. I think in France and other countries, they don't cancel the eggs. So a lot of times you can open up an egg, you'll have an Easter derisa. Not some, I'll meet a sashita to whom of a dumb heart. Then it's the end of it. It may turn out that the robe of the egg that you're buying is still without blood spots, and then you have to figure out what the DNR. then you have to look in the Aridea. What side of the egg do you have to find the left part that it should be an indication of the beginning of life? When do you say, no, that Hikara Din is really moved? People live in Europe have problems about this. We live in America, so everything is candle, so we really don't have too much of a problem. You have an egg, you have the blood spot, so you grow that. The Tzaddikus wants to, again, the Tzaddikus made a distinction over here between a Din Daraita and a Din Darabbanan. With respect to a Din Daraita, like Yisin Aveila, we declare the base of Dino Kibbuf HaTanagolus up until the time that it's over, up until the time that the egg comes out. With respect to Din Darabbanan, like the Tzaddikus Bechol, the Din Darabbanan, then when they come to go on the Ikar Adin, that once the egg is fully developed, even if it's still inside the body of the hen, it's no longer Dina Kibbutz. On the other day, they raised this question. What about Melicha? What about salting the egg in order to remove Dam? So Dam is a question of their rights. Dam is a real need for their rights. So do you have to salt the eggs or not? Is it necessary to salt the egg? So whenever the egg is not Dina Kibbutz, or whenever the egg is not Dina Kibbutz, even if it's full of Dam, the Ikar Adin is Mutta. It's like if the wool would start to bleed, if the stink would start to bleed, real blood, the same blood that comes out from an animal, from a person, the blood would be mutter. It's only down from the Behemachai of the earth that's lost. It's down from an Adam is mutter out there. They only connect the Alilus Adam in Europe, that the Jews kill a Christian and they get Christian blood in order to bake the mutton. So the Jews will always defend themselves and say, what do you mean we're not allowed to eat Dam? So the truth of the matter is, Adam Adam is mutter. The Adam is mutter out there, it's only into the Rabbanan. So when the Nochim found out about that, that Dam was only also Rabbanan, they said, no, but it's Muslim and Atharis, that the Jews had to defend themselves, and they said, but we don't violate even these Surahs Rabbanan. So it's really, the argument became weaker, because Dam was is Muslim and Atharis. Maybe we'll have a Gezer on non-Jewish blood, maybe we do take the Matthew for Christian blood. The Jews are Muslim and Atharis, yeah, but Dam was is Muslim and Atharis. So here is an ethic in there today, is that you have to salt these eggs, or not, if you share the Tanagolas and you find eggs inside and you think that the eggs may have Dam in them, is it necessary to salt them? So the Yerushalayim Rambam has a Chumrah and he says that since Dam is a question of right, so with respect, according to this first answer, with respect to all the right, we say that the base is still Kibbuf HaTanagolas up until the time that there was no Dam. Up until the time that the egg comes out from the body of the Tanagurus. So therefore you have to be machmir to salt all of the eggs that weren't born yet until the Tanagurus was nishkat. However, what if you sold two pieces of meat together? You sold a whole bunch of meat all together. So we say that that's okay. But the Dam is going to make a wrap for one piece of meat and it'll be absorbed into the other piece of meat. So we say that's no problem. But since the salt on the other piece of meat is going to get out its own blood, so the other blood that comes from the other piece will come in and it'll go out. The same salt that takes out its own blood will take out the other blood also. So it says in the Aridea, but that's only if none of the pieces of meat were salted. What about the piece of meat that was salted already and I rinsed it off and has no longer any blood? And now I salt it again, or flavor, whatever, I salt it again, and I put it together with another piece of meat that I haven't salted yet. But then it says that the blood that's going to come out from the piece of meat that I'm salting now for the first time will be nibbled, will be absorbed into the piece of meat, that doesn't have any blood left at all. And you won't say that since this salting process is taking out its own blood, it's going to take out the other blood, it's not taking out any blood from that piece. But then you have to salt them separate. You want to salt the piece of meat that already was salted, and you want to salt the piece of meat that was never salted before, you now want to salt them together. So there are no rights in the other day that here, Mi'ikar Adin, Midina, they're right, once the egg is sufficiently developed inside the Tanagolas, that I say it's no longer Dina Kibbutz on a level of God, you don't have to salt that egg. Even it has done. It's not done. It's done from a basin, which is Mutter, and it does not, let's say the Dam is in such a part of the egg that it doesn't indicate the beginning of life of the chick, so there's no problem of the basin. So on the level of the right, I don't have to salt the egg, but the Rabbanan will not clear up until the time that the day to know that the treated people have been burned, they have to salt it. But it says you should salt it separately. So I'm alright, you should put it on top. You have to have the salting board. Remember, my mother used to salt the chicken. Remember, later the butchers did all the salting. But I remember from the three dictators along the world war, there used to be a grapple, and he used to put the pieces of chicken or the piece of meat, whatever, on the grapple so that the blood would roll down. So you have to make sure if you have something that already was salted, you can't put that on the bottom, you have to put that on the top. So the nut of the blood from the pieces on top should roll onto it. So the Rambam writes, if you have a basil, I remember my mom used to cut open the chicken and sometimes there was the eggs inside. Sometimes there'll be little eggs. So you have to salt those eggs because they didn't come out yet before the Tanagolas was to be shocked. So those eggs, the Rambam says, have to be placed on top of the other pieces. so that any blood that comes out will roll down, and no blood from the other species should roll on top of it. You do. When busy giving out dung, then you say San Bolaya.
Right.
But here it doesn't have, well, if he did it, it doesn't have any of its own dung, so you don't say like that. So that's according to the first answer of things. But then Tesis is bothered with a question. There is a Gemara in Erevin, but the Gemara has a discussion of why were the two sons of Aharon punched? It says in the Chumash, and Achrei, that they did some kind of an Avera, and they were punished. Not about you, Zohar. So what exactly was that? The Rashi HaChumash quotes the Gemara, that one of the opinions of the Tanakh was that it was Merah HaLach of Yisnei Rabbah. That they passed in a din without consulting Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was there, and they didn't consult him. And Merah HaLach of Yisnei Rabbah is such a type of Avera that Yichai needs to dish. My question is, if it doesn't seem like it says that in the Chumash, Chumash sounds like it gives a different reason, then that's a problem. How does the Tanakh interpret the passage in the Chumash that it came out to be Merah HaLach of Yisnei Rabbah? Sure. The Gemara has a whole serious discussion of this in Erevin, of all places. I don't know where it should be, but it really shouldn't be there. Alright, so it's a whole discussion of everything about the Merah HaLach of Yisnei Rabbah. So the Gemara says there, even a most elementary shayla, you're not allowed to pass in the presence of Yisrael. And the Gemara gives what's an example of an elementary Yiddish means shayla that every little kid knows, that you're allowed to cook based on the cook, because you're permitted to cook based in with a milchik dish, kutach is some kind of milchik mark. Every little baby knows that eggs are part of it. And they're not fleshy, even though the egg comes from the chicken. Everybody knows the egg comes from the chicken is fleshy. Everybody knows the egg is a parva. Everybody knows you're permitted to cook egg with kutach, with milchik, because eggs are parva, and so you shouldn't pass in this Bifnei Rabba. Whatever says Bifnei Rish in the Chum is that you may pass in this Bifnei Rabba. That's the thing, just tell the guys to pass in the Chum is, that's not called Psa. This doesn't say Bifnei Rish in the Chum is that eggs are parva, that's, you have to know that it is. And then I'll give that as an example. A few little days in the kutach, even an elementary shayla. That's an expression that the Shaila and Achrayim use. Whenever you have the Shaila, then the Luna will come say, what's the din? So they'll say, awesome, what the Luna will say, this is such an easy Shaila, it's like bait in the Kutcha. Like an egg in, that's the egg is little thing. Like you're allowed to cook the egg in Kutcha. But the Mark gives that as an example, like Lishri Yinish, you shouldn't be Mafia, a man should not pass from the Kutcha. The Mark Rabbi, if someone asks me, fine, I don't have to ask the Shaila, my Rabbi, whether the egg is a power line, no. But if a father does this, you need a sharp and I read it around, I should say, ask your rabbi. Well, the father should ask you whether they're allowed to cook eggs with milk, so you have to say, ask your rabbi. Even though it's an easy sharp, you're not allowed to pass it anymore. The patient says, why is it so easy? If there's a machlok, it's not annoying. When the chicken is not the b'chol of their rice, it's not the b'chol of their rabbana, that's three sheeses. But the insect really holds that chicken is not even the b'chol of their rabbana. The Gemara says in the first doctor of Lezer Menila that the Mekomash of Yitzhak lived in his community even years after he died, they continued the practice of eating chicken with milk. They used to cook the chicken with milk. Following the Pesach of their Maradasa, even after he died, he was their Maradasa. That was their Angitzit. That was their Pesach. And the Gemara says that nobody was punished and they didn't die at a young age. They all went to a ripe old age because they followed the sheep of their Pesach. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Elikim Chaim had a right to follow his sheep. And his sheep were nowhere in Eretz Yisrael was problem. The rest of Eretz Yisrael outside of his city, there was a machlokes that was raging whether the tzareik mechala, whether the chicken is shleishik minatayra, or it's only shleishik with the rabban. We talked about it's only shleishik with the rabban, but the Rashi says the chicken is shleishik minatayra. But they say if the chicken is shleishik minatayra, then you should be machner to treat the egg. Then some eggs will be shleishik. Not all eggs are going to be tayra. Even if it's an egg that has a hard shell on it, but it wasn't, they hadn't been laid the egg before it died, before it was shotten. So such an egg will be fleshy. What does the Gemara say? That it's so fleshy that all the eggs are part of it. Such an elementary shiloh. Not so fleshy. Sometimes you have to grab it. Sometimes not so fleshy. The person has this point. How can that be the solution to this contradiction? Then it's not a complicated shiloh. So why does the Gemara there and stick on base of the kutcha as the example of the most elementary shiloh? It's not so elementary. So they say the eish shiloh and we give another answer. That the reason why they still say that Beitas Nadela is also Bachila, even though Kimosa and Keres Bashut, even though the Beitas Nadela has already a hard shell on it, and that's why they were selling in the store, is not because Beitas to Kimosa. Not that with respect to Dinim Deraiti and Machma that Beitas to Kimosa up until the time that it leaves the body of the hen. With respect to Dinim Deraiti, why don't we say once the egg is completely formed, then it's already not Kimosa. No, they said a different word. What if you have an eagle lays an egg? Sure. So an oyster lays an egg. That's a positive bracha yana. that based on such telling us, what if it's a kosher bird, a hen lays an egg, but the hen was a trachoma, has a broken leg in such a way that that it's a trachoma. But then also, the Gemara had, we had on a previous daf, we had one of the daf before. So just from based on such telling us, we're not sure. So to based on trachoma, the Gemara seems to say based on trachoma is also we're not sure. So the opinion of Reb Shimon is that just like based on trachoma is also we're not sure because it was brought to the Isur, the base that developed inside the Tanagodas, that was a trait for like a base that developed inside the eagle that was in Hintame. So what if you have a base that's in the Vela? A base that's in the Vela didn't develop inside the head while it was in the Vela. If it would be, the Vela would be dead. So once it's dead, it doesn't develop any base. But it's mammoth form, once you confuse it with a base that's trait, if you're going to allow people to eat base that's in the Vela, but then people would think, well, if basis and veil is okay, then basis trace is also okay. What's the difference between the veil and the trace one? The veil is not worse than a trace, you know? The veil is worse than a trace, because the veil is kosher. The basis trace is certainly kosher. And it's not so. A basis trace is also because the basis was developed in the goof of the hen while the hen was a trace. So that's goggled Easter. Like a basis trace probably is goggled Easter. So that's a Yerushim and Asher is not. The base of the Vela didn't develop in the body of the hen while it was in the Vela. When it became in the Vela, it's dead. It doesn't develop anything. All the body processes cease to function. So the base of the Vela, but that's what the Shammai says. What do you have to make examine? Everybody will understand. Base of the Vela is kosher, and base of the Vela is God of the Easter itself. And you see what they know? They're afraid that people will make a will mix the two up. So they make examine base of the Vela is also us to base of the Vela. But it's not that the base of the Vela is also because they saw such a gufo. When is it? They toss the kikufa only in the early stages of development. Once it reaches the completion of development, either that means the yolk is completed, or the yolk with the white part, the albumen is completed, or with the shell, or it's no longer lured to kidney, whatever, the four features are, so they can lure it, then it's no longer they toss the kimono. Both of the inspected unit of the right and the inspected unit of the rabbah. These are the two answers that they should give. This is a big discussion. Now the Rishonim give rather complicated answers. They're very interesting. And you're a day and have a long discussion on this type of discussion. What are the answers there? Okay, Lynette, next week we'll have to continue. And this week's Sedra and Parsha Zachary Moses, the Torah has in the beginning of the Sedra the Avodah Yom Kippur. Exactly how the Sangam has to do the Avodah. But the Gemara learned that from a Pasuk in Zachary Moses that the Seder is the Yachid. You have to do a Zachary in the correct order. Usually we have the usually when you have a mitzvah that has various parts to it, so the Seder is not Yachid. Like in Chalitza, you have to do Kriyas HaPsukim, then you have to do removing of the shoe, then you have to do the Rekika that's sitting on the floor, and if you reverse the order, so the Gemara says there's no need to repeat it even the Chatzim. But the Seder is not Yachid. Well, that's not Pesach night. Then you have to eat the matzah, and then you eat tomorrow. What if you have to eat tomorrow first, and then you eat the matzah? You have to eat tomorrow over again. The Seder is not Yachid. The Seder is not Yachid. But on Yom Kippurim, since it says, Baruch Tzor Shalchem, the chukah, ksib lo chukah means that it's not, even the Seder is not. So what exactly is the Seder? But there's a big problem here. If you look in the Chumash, there's one Seder. If you look at the Gemara, there's a completely different Seder. It's a different Seder. The Chumash has that the Kangaroo wears big day Zohar, but he's the Shemayim of God that he wears all year long, and he does some of the Avodas on Yom Kippur in the morning. Then he takes off the big day Zohar, and he wears a special big day Zohar on for Yom Kippur. And he does Avodis with Nai with him, but he takes off the Dig De Zohar and he does the remainder of the Avodis, the Dig De Zohar, and then that's the end of the day. So in other words, the Avodis is divided up into three units, Dig De Zohar, Dig De Love, Dig De Zohar. And in the Mishnah it says not so, it's divided up into five units. You have Zohar, Lavan, Zohar, Lavan, Zohar. So where did that come from? The Gemara says, Halavan, Mashem, Nesina. Achim doesn't say that in the Chumash. In the Chumash it just says Zohar, Lavan, Zohar. You don't have two lovers with a zav in between. So Pilek one, so the Ramban on Gemara has a comment. The Bishkir of the same on Yuma quotes the Ramban on the bottom of Yuma. And his commentary on the Balamor has an interesting comment. He says if you'll do the Avodah the way it's written in the Chumash, you will be Yaitse to the Yaitse. Because that is the correct Seder. But the Halacha of Moshe Nisina had a tradition, you have to have Chumash Tzvilas Basara Kiddushin on Yom Kippur. The Tengel has to be Tzvilas in the Mikra 5 times. After the Kiddush Adai Ravan, has to pour, has to get water from the kiosk and pour on his hands and his feet 10 times. Every time he puts on Big Dekuna, he has to pour water. And every time he takes off Big Dekuna, he has to pour water. And every time he puts on Big Dekuna, he has to be covered in the mix. So if you're only going to divide the Avodah into three units, so you're only going to have three trilos and six kilishadagra blinds. Now, Lava Moshe Yasina says he's supposed to have five trilos and a third kilishadagra blind. So in order to fulfill that, Lava Moshe Yasina, we recommend to the Kangaroo that you should break up the avoid and the big day love into two parts. And then in between the two parts, you should have an avoid and the big day job. So you have Zoho, love on Zoho, love on Zoho. So then you're going to fulfill the halacha Moshe Yasina, five tefillahs and ten kiddushin blinds. But if you won't fulfill that, what if in the year that you won't fulfill that mitzvah having five tefillahs and ten kiddushin? It's still going to be avodah in order. So the Chumash is telling you what the Seder of avodah is. And if you're mishana from the Seder as it's written in Chumash, it'll be possible for the year. But if you only do what it says in Chumash, you won't fulfill this halacha Moshe Yasina and add in it. And if you do it the way the halacha Moshe Yasina says, the Seder is basically the same. You're just adding on another break in the Seder in order to fulfill halacha Moshe Yasina. That's how the Ramban says in the Muhammad on the it's a little strange. Halacha Moshe Yasina is not going to tell you the Seder. In the name of the Zohar Gaon and the Chayyodam was a Mechutam the Zohar Gaon. He quotes a Tirush in the name of the Zohar Gaon, and then he says that later on he looks in the Sifra, he found the Sifra and what the Zohar Gaon said, a Gevaldige Chiddush. I've heard the Gittin, she says, when you read the beginning of Parshat Zachin Mois, it doesn't say words about Yom Kippur. It says, Dabel Aharon Achim Bal Yavon Bukhal Eitz Al HaKadosh Mdei Pal Kodosh. Tell your brother Aaron that he's not allowed to go into the Kodosh Kodosh whenever he wants. And those of you Aaron Al HaKadosh, if Aaron feels compelled to go into the Kodosh HaKadosh, he should bring the Kalim Kabbalah and the same body should bring the Dodi Pais on Yom Kippur. And at the very end of this long Parshat, and he keeps on saying Aaron, it doesn't say Kangol. It doesn't say what the meaning is of another Kangol. It just says Aaron. At the very end of the parsha, it says, V'hoyso zos lochem l'chukas v'ilom. This should apply for all generations. At the very end it says, V'hoyso lochem l'chukas v'ilom. In Pasuk Chotzer. V'hoyso lochem l'chukas v'ilom. This thing applies throughout all the future generations. On Yom Kippur, on the 10th day of Tishrei, and then it says, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, the Lamb says, if the 30 psukim in the Pasuk Lamb says, it says, any Kohen Gadol can do this on Yom Kippur. And all along, it just keeps on saying, Aaron doesn't say when. So the Dolma Gaon says, if you read the Pshuta Shel Mikra, it says like this. In the days of the Mizbor, when Aaron was alive, if he felt a need to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for some reason or another, he could enter whenever he wants, like right onto the Shvat, on Purim, on Chanukah, whenever he wants he can go in. But he has to bring all of these korbanos. Then the Chumash ends off the parsha by saying, that's only Ayruah Asher for Aaron during his lifetime when he was in the Mizbor. But Ledoros, it says, also Lachem Lechukasem, Ledoros is only brought on Yom Kippur, and it's not only Aaron, it's not Kodesh Shim Shachot, or Shim Mavi Yisiyod, or Lachayim Tachatot. Whoever the Kodesh happens to be, has to do this Ledoros on Yom Kippur. It's a wild shot. So they're going to go and say that this parashah is 15 kashas. One of the 15 kashas that he had was this. How can the halakha Moshe Yasina give you a whole different order? Big day Zohar, big day Lavan, big day Zohar, big day Lavan, big day Zohar. The Pasuk doesn't say that. So he says, no contradiction. The Pasuk is telling you that for Rosh or for Aaron, if he has to enter into the Kodesh HaKadosh in the middle of the year, not on Yom Kippur, he does exactly as it's described in the Chumash. And the Zohar, you have the halakha Moshe Yasina, that tells you Zohar a little bit, that on Yom Kippur, the Zohar, you have this special din, and you should break it up into five units. And it answers another 14 kashas. Very strong kashas. Another whole series of kashas. Ayo. It's Machlech Kachan with the Ayo Hama Kachan Hama Bukhulish Abkudish. Pashas Tichos. In Balidbar, there's an Ayo that's mentioned, and the Tanayim Hama Machlech is a weak pattern, but it's the same Ayo that's mentioned over here. So why is it mentioned twice? The other Mustafa and Pashas Tichos don't appear here. But the Ramadan says it's also answered with this kashas. He has a whole series of very strong kashas that are answered by this. So the Chayyodim points out, at the end of the Sefer Chochmah Sodom, he quotes it. Chayyodim points out that after looking a little bit, he found that the Sifra has this. There's one Tana in the Sifra who says like the Gemara Gaon, but if you read the Sifra, you wouldn't understand it. But now that the Gemara Gaon explains it, you understand what he told. So this is one explanation why the Halacha Moshe Yasina presents it differently from the way it appears in the Chumash. So then he once told the Drasha, and he suggested another Mahalach. He explained that Yom Kippurim, it says in the Gemara in the end of Tainus that Yom Kippur is a Yontif, is one of the two jolliest days of the year. The last mission Tainus says, "V'hoyu lahem yisrael yontifim kechamishot tzibor v'yom kippurim shebehem v'hoyu yisrael yontif v'machol." The single girls would go dance on Yom Kippur, and the boys would pick out shiduchim on Yom Kippur chamishot tzibor. The Gemara asks, why was Yom Kippur such a jolly day? So the Gemara says, the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. We celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah in the book, Kabbalah HaTorah. Kabbalah HaTorah was on Shavuot. That's the second time when Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the second lulav that he didn't smash. The first lulav he came down and Shavuot, the town was finished. So we celebrate also, but in different types of observance, we fit. And it's a sad day, but on Yom Kippurim, it's a happy day. So Rav Soloveitch pointed out, isn't it strange that we have two holidays to celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah, one is Shavuot, and one is Yom Kippurim. What do you mean to Yom Kippurim? They explain that they're really two different parts of the Torah. One is Torah Shavuot, one is Torah Shavuot. So on Shavuot, we celebrate that the Torah Shavuot was given. And on Yom Kippurim, we celebrate that the Torah Shavuot was given. What do you mean to celebrate that the Torah Shavuot was given? So Rav Soloveitch quoted from the Beis HaLevi, the great grandfather explained in a sefer. He has in the end of the day, Talei, the Chelipet, he has Drush, has 16 long Arichas of Drush. So he has there the following explanation. He says that the first Luchai, he quotes many Gemaras in the Drush and the Zohar to demonstrate, to prove this point, that the original Luchas had Kola Perakuba engraved on it. Everything was written. And at that time there was no Torah Shalpa, everything was Mamish Torah Shalpa, everything was engraved on the Luchai. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and he saw that the people were dancing around the Egel, so as he was about to snatch the Luchai, before he had the chance to snatch the Luchai, the Oseos were called, so what Oseos were called, so he interprets that the everything over and above the Onochi Hashem Lekech, everything more than the Aseret HaDibros, flew away, and at that point, all you had on the Luchai was the Aseret HaDibros, and then he snatched it or he dropped it. One version in the Medrash is that he dropped it, because since the hollow part became filled in with stones, it was too heavy to carry. The whole Torah was engraved, so there was hardly any stones, the whole thing was all empty. It was all atheist. And then when the empty part became filled in with stones, so it was too heavy, so one version and one opinion in the Brides and the Medrash is that he dropped it, one opinion is that he didn't drop it, he smashed it. But whatever it is, at the time that he dropped it, or he smashed it, it only had the Aseret HaDibros. And that's why Kodesh Rosh said, in Parshas Kisisa, Kodesh Rosh Hashem, Kodesh Rosh Hashem, Kodesh Rosh Hashem, Kodesh Rosh Hashem, prepare two lochai, and I will engrave on the Luchas. I will engrave only the Aseret HaDibros that was there at the time that you smashed the first Luchas. At the time that you came down from Har Sinai, there was more. There was more than Aseret HaDibros, but at the time Asher Shibarta, at the time that you smashed it, the only thing that was there was the Aseret HaDibros. At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, the only Aseret HaDibros was engraved. And then later, the rest of the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, dictated to be written down. Then there was a big Torah Shavuot that wasn't fixed up. So on Yom Kippurim, the concept of Torah Shavuot emerged, but until that time, we only had, everything was Torah Shavuot, everything would have been Torah Shavuot. But after Yom Kippurim, when the second Luchas were given, and it only had the Aseret HaDibros, and then the rest of the Torah Shavuot was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. Only Torah Shavuot, and the Torah Shavuot is something separate, but that's why we celebrate two Yom Tovim for Matan Torah. And Shlomo Lazuna has also commented along these lines. Because why is it that if they're both celebrations of Kabbalah HaTorah, then why is it that on Shavuot is the mitzvah to eat extra of these marshes? You're supposed to eat more on Shavuot than on Pesach and Sukkot, because it's the day that we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. And Hakam on Yom Kippur is the day that we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. You have to fast. Isn't there something strange about that? Both days we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. So he says that in the schus of the Torah, we gather on Hazah and we gather on Hazah. Because in the schus of which Torah? He quotes from the Drush that in the schus of Torah Shavuot, we gather on Hazah. And the schus of Torah Shavuot, this is interpretation of the Drush, we get the Olam HaZeh. So he says that the Olam HaZeh has to do with Achidu Shtiyah, the day on which we celebrate Kabbalah Torah Shavuot. That's Shavuot. Shavuot is the day on which we celebrate Kabbalah Torah Shavuot. So that's what it is, to eat and drink and be married, more so than on Pesach and on Sukkot. But on Yom Kippur, the day on which we celebrate Kabbalah Torah Shavuot, so, and in the schus of Torah Shavuot, we're going to get Olam HaZeh. Olam HaZeh, Zayn Bala Achidu Shtiyah, the Gemara says. So that's what to prepare for that, Olam HaZeh, so that's what it is with the fifth. Because it's the Olam HaZeh that we got, and it's close to the Torah Shavuot. That's what Rav Soloveitch suggested, that he thinks that maybe that's why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Davka dictated in Chumash one way, and he gave the Torah Shavuot, Halacha HaMoshe Sinai, how to modify the Avodah. The Chumash says, you do the Avodah, they talk, they love, they go. And then the Torah Shavuot says, no, you do it differently. because everything smells differently. Kurah on Yom Kippur is the day on which we celebrate Kabbalah Kodesh Lateh. So the Rosh Hashanah wanted that the Iker part of Yom Kippur the Avodah should be done according to the Torah Shalpeh, not according to the Torah Shalpeh. And Mar says also, and Yom Kippur was one of the days in the year that there was a major dispute between the Sukkim and the Pushim. How to do the Avodah? And they made the Kohanim and Gedolim swear every Yom Kippur they want to do the Avodah properly, not to be Nishan and Kabbalah Kodesh Marty with Nathan. Because the Torah Shalpeh had a tradition how to do it, and the Torah Shalpeh is very vague on Yom Kippur, how he's supposed to do it. The Dafka, Yom Kippur, which is the day of Kabbalah, Torah Shalpeh, the day on which we celebrate, receiving of the Torah Shalpeh, that's why the Avodah on Yom Kippur is so heavily loaded down with Masoros of Torah Shalpeh.